Tonight, we're going to, as we think about the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, certainly the burial and the resurrection of the Lord, excuse me, are a significant events. I'm fine, just let me get my person here. And as we think of the subject, get that throat greased up and I'll be okay. We think of the subject of the sacredness of the body. We recognize there is a huge difference between heathenism and Christian thought. And no place does this take viewed more obviously than in the death of the Lord Jesus and the anointing of his body and the view that others had of his body and its burial. Mark chapter 14, it says, verse 3, "And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it had been, if it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor, and they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her." Thank you, Mr. Eco. Now notice, 300 pence. Well, they in the Bible, they figure the pence was about a day's wage. So take about 10 months' wages in modern thinking. Well, that was a little bit of money, wasn't it? That was a little bit of money. 10 months' wages. I don't know how much you make a month, but 10 months' wages. And of course, we by reading the other Gospels, we know that Judas, he was kind of the ringleader of the murmuring. He was the ringleader. You know, the Bible says he had the bag. You know, and obviously he was dipping into it. And he would have glad to have 300 pence in the bag and be responsible to give it to the poor because he could put a few pence in his pocket. But the issue was, wow, let's just say $40,000, $30,000. Whoa! To anoint the body of Jesus? Yeah, exactly. He is the Son of God. Amen? He is the Son of God. He's the Son of God, took upon him a human body that he might die on Calvary's cross. It was right. It was proper to anoint that body because it was in his body that he bare our sins and he shed his blood. Amen. It was right. Now, you know, when you think of this passage of Scripture, you think about why this waste? Well, you know when Mr. Soltis knows what I'm talking about here. But when it comes to burying somebody, somebody says, "Hoof, that's way too much money. Let's do it the cheap route." You know? Now, we'll get into that a little bit. But, you know, there's a fundamental invasion of thinking in the West that's not from God. It's an invasion of heathen thinking concerning this body in which we live. And the sacredness of that body. Now, let's illustrate it from another place, contrast of thinking. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 28. And here we have the garments of the priest. And there's a number of things. Verse 2. "And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother for glory and for beauty. And these are the garments which shall be made: a breastplate, an ephod, a robe, a broidered coat, a mitre, a girdle. And they shall make holy armor, garments for Aaron thy brother and his sons, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office." And verse 36, "And thou shalt make a plate of pure gold, and grave upon it the like the engravings of a signet, holiness to the Lord. And thou shalt put it on a blue lace, that may be upon the mitre, upon the forefront of the mitre it shall be. And shall be upon Aaron's forehead, that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things, which the children of Israel shall hallow in their holy gifts. And it shall always be upon his forehead, that they may be accepted before the Lord." So here we have the priest, holy garments. They're covering the priest as he ministers to God in the holy place. Now, as I think of that, I think of my experience in Malaysia and in Burma. I vividly remember going to a Buddhist temple or Hindu temple. I think it was a Buddhist temple in Malaysia. And what was unique about the whole situation was the building was almost the same design as the temple of the Old Testament. The building itself had two parts. There was an altar in front of it. There was a laver in front of it. And then the building had two parts. And it would be equivalent to the holy place. And then there was a curtain. And then there was the Holy of Holies. And of course, the devil, he knows what the throne of God is like in heaven. And he is free to mimic that in his falsity. But, you know, there's some interesting things. On the altar, oranges, bananas, fruit. Reminded me of Cain. But the thing that was very overwhelming was the priest came out and except for a loincloth. He was totally naked. He was totally naked. Now, that reflects two things. One, it reflects their view of God. Versus the Old Testament priest, fully covered, down to the ankle. And here, this heathen priest, almost naked. Completely. Their view of God. But it also has to do with the view of the body. In those religions, the body is not sacred. Whereas in the Bible, the body is sacred. Now, it's also interesting, if you go to the book of Leviticus, go to Leviticus chapter 21. Now, the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, H-O-L-Y, not W-H-O-L-L-Y, holy, H-O-L-Y, except, and I lost it, I beseech you there, and acceptable unto God. Okay? This body that we're supposed to serve God with is to be holy. Okay? The body is to be holy. All right? Now, think of what it says in Leviticus chapter 21, verse 5, about the priest. They shall not make baldness on their head, neither shall they shave off the corner of their beard, nor make any cuttings in their flesh. They shall be holy unto their God. And they shall not profane the name of their God, for the offerings of the Lord made by fire and of the bread of their God they do offer. Therefore they shall be holy. Very interesting truths here. It says, verse 10, and he that is the high priest among the brethren, upon whose head the anointing oil was poured, that is consecrated to put on the garment, shall not uncover his head nor rent his clothes, nor shall he go into any dead body and defile himself. Verse 13, and he shall take a wife in her virginity, a widow or divorced woman or profane or harlot, there shall he not take, but he shall take a virgin of his own people. Neither shall he profane his seed among the people, for I, the Lord, do sanctify it. And it talks about that the priest has to be without blemish. Verse 17, whosoever be of the seed in thy generations that hath any blemish, let him not approach to offer the bread of his God. For whatsoever man he be that hath a blemish, he shall not approach a blind, a lame, or hath a flat nose, or anything superfluous, etc. Verse 23, only he shall not go unto the veil, nor come nigh unto the altar, because he hath a blemish, that he may profane, that he profane not my sanctuary, for I, the Lord, do sanctify it. Now, notice the Old Testament priest, the extreme example of the holiness of his body. The holiness of his body. Now, that's a foreign thought to us, because we have, in our thinking, we have lost the sense of God's word and the holiness of God. Now, that is kind of a background to what we're going to talk about tonight. But let's look at a few thoughts about the body, and then we're going to talk about the reasons that our body is holy and ought to be holy. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we're going to tie these in a little bit, but 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we have, again, newly saved people, saved out of heathenism, saved out of idolatry, and their thinking has to change. Their thinking has to change. Verse 13. It says, chapter 6, verse 13, meats for the belly and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now, the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. The body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord and will raise up us by his own power, knowing not that your bodies are the members of Christ. Wow. Now, let's think of this in comparison to the heathen view of the body. If you go with me to Leviticus chapter 18, and we don't have time to read this whole chapter, but I want us to look at the introduction. Leviticus 18. Verse 2, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwelt, shall ye not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye not do. Neither shall ye walk in their ordinances. Ye shall do my judgments and keep my ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if any man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. Now notice the contrast. He said, don't live like the people of Egypt. And now you're going into Canaan. Don't live like the people of Canaan. You're my people. You are going to follow my ordinances and my laws, and they are distinctly different. Notice, it says in verse 24, defile not yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. And the land is defiled, therefore I do visit the iniquity thereupon it. And the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. You know why? Because God created the earth and the land. And the land, the Bible says, has a morality to it. It says, verse 26, you shall keep my statutes and my judgments and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation, neither any stranger that sojourneth among you. For all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled, and the land, that the land spew you not out, whither you defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. Now, what did the heathen think about the body? Well, most idolatry was some kind of fornication cult. That's what they thought about the body, and that's what they thought about God. They had temple prostitutes, whether they were men or whether they were women. That's how they worship their God. And and you go to the book of Leviticus, it talks about homosexuality, it talks about incest, it talks about bestiality, it talks about all these heathen practices, all about the heathen philosophy of the body. The body in heathenism is for fornication. But in Christianity, the body is for the Lord. A huge difference, isn't it? A huge, huge difference. In heathenism, the body is about unbridled pleasure. That's what the body is about. Unbridled pleasure. But what does the Bible say about the body? 1 Corinthians chapter 9. The Apostle Paul, what does he say? He said, verse 27, 1 Corinthians 9, 27, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Here we find a huge difference. Heathenism, the body is for unbridled pleasure. In Christianity, the body is to be kept in subjection. In heathenism, the heathen temples were all about perverted pleasure. In Christianity, our body is to be holy. It should be holy. In heathenism, the body was cut. The body was marred. The body was mutilated. The body was decorated. That was part of heathenism. Tattoos, piercings, mutilation. That was their view of the body. It was for unbridled pleasure. It's for them. The body in the Bible is for God. Now, you also have to understand, in heathenism, the body is merely temporary. In the Bible, the body will be raised up. The word resurrection means to stand again. Now, that's just kind of a brief thought here. But I want us to see that this is invading our nation. This is invading our nation. Paganism, heathenism, and people don't know where their thoughts come from, why they think the way they think. But we need to understand there's a huge difference of thinking of heathenism about the body and what the Bible says about the body. And that ought to be reflected in our lives, in our view of the body. It ought to be reflected in what we do with our body, how we honor our body, how we keep it holy. Now, let's think about why the body is special. The body is special. Why is the body sacred to the believer? Turn with me to Genesis chapter 2. and verse number 7. Why is the body special? Because the God of heaven created the human body. The Bible says, Psalm 139, what does it say? We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Genesis 1:26, it says, and God says, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And you know, when God made man, he gave him a body. And in that body, and that body was created by God. That's what makes it special. In Genesis 9, it says about murder. What does it say about murder? In Genesis 9:6, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. Why? For in the image of God made he man. Wow. Why don't you murder? Why? Because man was made in the image of God. Now think about that. There's obvious some religions that they're all about murder. What do they think about God? What do they think about God? The problem is, because they don't have the right God, they don't think rightly about man's body, and they don't think rightly about life. So, as we're thinking about that, why is the body sacred? Because it was created by God. It's not your body. God made it. And we're reminded that Colossians 1:16 says, all things were made by him and for him. All things were made by him and for him. God gave man a body to serve him with. Isn't that amazing? Oh, we think that our body's for us. We think our body's for me. I can do with it with anything I want. No. God made our body. It's sacred. It's special. Now the devil doesn't think it's special, does he? Let's go to James chapter 2. Why is the body special? Not only is it made by God, but it is the house of your soul and spirit. We're going to read that verse, Genesis 2:7. We didn't. God created man out of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Man became a living soul. Here in James chapter 1, in chapter 2, verse 26, it says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. When are you dead? When your heart stops? Well, some people have an artificial heart. You know? And they're dead, and it keeps pumping. You know? When are you dead? You're dead when God calls your spirit. And your body is the house of your spirit. Your body is the house of your spirit. Your body is a reflection of your spirit, of your soul. That's sacred. You know, sometimes at the university I say to young people, hey, do you know that you're a living soul? Oh, shocks them. They don't think about themselves as a living soul. They just think of themselves as a glorified animal. That's why they live that way. But our body, yeah, you know what? This body. Amazing, isn't it? The house of our soul and spirit. Boy, that's pretty special. That's very, very special. We are made in the image of God. So, why is our body sacred? Because our body was created by God. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Why is our body sacred? Because it is the house of our soul and spirit. Thirdly, why is our body sacred? Because our body as believers is the holy temple of the Holy Spirit. It's the holy temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Of course, this is in the context where it says the body is not for fornication, but it's for the Lord. Verse 18, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Knowing not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. Now, you've heard me say this. The Bible says your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Now, in the Jewish temple, there was the holy place, and there was the Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies was where the Ark of Covenant was. That's where the mercy seat was. Made of gold. That's where the high priest once a year brought the offering on the Day of Atonement to atone for the sins of the people of Israel. That was where the Shekinah glory, God's presence, dwelt. It was the Holy of Holies. In the Greek, it was the Naos. And here, it says your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It says it is the Naos of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy of Holies.
Right.
Our body, the Holy of Holies. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, lives within this body. Wow. You know, they say the priest in the Old Testament. We don't read this in the Bible, but it's tradition. That the priest, when he went into the Holy of Holies, he had a rope on his ankle. So that if he went in there, and he had some sin on him that wasn't confessed, he wasn't right with God, he would die. And they'd have to pull him out because nobody else could go in there until a new high priest was consecrated. And so they'd have a rope on his ankle because no sin could come into the presence of a holy God. Now the Bible tells us that our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. You know, we are, we'd be kind of offended Someone came in here with a cigarette. You know that? You know, last week I was going to show some pictures of contrast, modesty and immodesty. And I thought, I can't do that. I can't do that. That'd be out of place. That'd be offensive. I remember years ago, this is, you know what? Guess what? This is almost 38, 39 years ago. We had new believers, and we were still meeting in the house. And that's where we had church, down in our house. We had a chapel down there. And so Scott was sixth grade back then. Of all people, I had Brother Hatchett come and do a little series on music. And so he did a little series on music, and he had a tape recorder. And he played on that tape recorder, he played about 5 seconds or 10 seconds of Easy Listening. You know, WEZW used to be on, you know, soft rock. I mean, that'd be considered almost good nowadays, you know what I mean? And so he was trying to show the people the difference between good music and bad music. And so he played that WEZW music for about 5 seconds. And everybody in there was like, ah! You defiled our church! We never had that kind of music in here before! Well, you know what? Some of those people who had that reaction, guess what kind of music they had on their radio? WEZW. But you know what? They didn't think of their body as the temple of the Holy Spirit. They thought about the church as being the temple of the Holy Spirit. But they didn't think about their body being the temple of the Holy Spirit. And God says our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Not only does it say it's the temple of the Holy Spirit, but it says, verse 20, ye are bought with a price. You are bought with a price. You know what? You don't own your body. If you're saved, you don't own your body anymore. It belongs to God. It belongs to God. You don't have the right to do whatever you want to your body. You don't have that right. Because God owns it now. You don't have the right to put on it anything you want. You don't have the right to decorate it with anything you want. You don't have the right to mutilate it any way you want. You don't have the right to put marks on it. You don't have that right. It doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God. It belongs to God. So here's this body. We got a funeral here at McQuarnico Baptist Church. There's a body here. Guess what? That person's saved. Hey, that body belongs to God. Oh, we think, oh, that was a nice person. I remember. No, it's more than that. That body belongs to God. That's what the Bible says. Amen. Now, think about this. The final point of our salvation is the redemption of the body. Yep. God owns it. It belongs to Him. And guess what? He's going to redeem it. He's going to redeem it. That's the last part of our salvation. Romans 8:23. And there's a number of places that talk about this. Verse 22, Romans 8, 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption. Yep. You know what? This body, we still have within it the sin nature, don't we? That is, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. So there is this war within me. And we have within us the flesh. And this body has been touched by sin. But guess what? This body's going to be redeemed. And it's going to get free from sin. And we're longing for that day. And it is this body that's going to be redeemed. The adoption. First, Philippians chapter 3, number 5, it will be this body that is going to be resurrected. Philippians chapter 3, many verses about that. Verse 20, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things to himself. Now notice, it says, he shall change our vile body. He didn't say he's going to change, you know, somebody else's. He's going to change ours. And ours is going to be fashioned like unto the glorious body of the Lord Jesus. Now, remember today, as you looked at the resurrection passage, Thomas said, I won't believe until I can put my hands in his side. I won't believe until I can touch the nail prints on his hands. Well, guess what? When Jesus resurrected, it was his body that resurrected. Amen? It was his body. His real body. And your body and my body will stand again. Forever before God. This body that God owns, this body that he created, this body will stand again. In the Bible, for the believer, death is called sleeping, isn't it? They that sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Yeah, why is it called sleeping? Why do they have a pillow up there? They're sleeping. They're going to stand again. It's just temporary. That didn't come out of the sky, folks. That's rooted in our Christian heritage. We are going to stand again. Now, as I thought about that, you know what we need to do? We need to take an inventory of our thinking. We need to take an inventory of our thinking. Why has cremation become such a part of America? Well, there's two reasons. One is because the God of America is money. Why was this waste made? You can hear Judas saying that. Why was this waste made? Hey, it's a lot cheaper. Just burn it up. Get it over with. The only trouble is, it's more than money. It's thinking. Because in heathenism, the body is merely temporary. At death, that's it. No resurrection. You burn it up. And you know, somehow, whoosh, whooshy, you know, comes back as a frog. Or whatever. Because they have the wrong view of God. They have a wrong view of the body. We aren't animals. We aren't pantheists, are we? We're Christians. Our body is created in the image and likeness of God. We as a being, we're created in the image and likeness of God. God made our body. We aren't to kill other people because they're made in the image and likeness of God. Our body has been created for God, not for sin. We've been saved so that in our body, we will reflect a holy God. In our body, we will reflect our God. God said, our body's for the Lord. It's not for sinful pleasure. It's not for unbridled pleasure. It's not to do with whatever we want. It is for the Lord. Now that's a huge contrast. Even as cremation has infiltrated into Western thinking and is now a dominant part of thinking, so is the whole idea that your body belongs to you. Do with it what you want. Decorate it the way you want. Do with it whatever. No. Our body is for the Lord. And our body and what we do with it is supposed to reflect a holy God. A holy God. And we have that picture in the Old Testament. That the priests, no mars, no blemishes. Of course, because they picture Jesus perfect. But he was a reflection on our Savior, our God that we worship. You see, what has happened is we've been getting our thinking from the world and not our thinking from the Bible. We just follow the fancies of the world. Whatever it says, that's what we do. They say decorate it that way, decorate it that way. You know, body isn't for fornication. Well, the harlot, she decorates her body for fornication, for sinful pleasure. Well, wait a minute. No. Our body's for the Lord. Our body's to reflect a holy God. Our body is to reflect by its holy, wholesome image the God who is holy. And so we need to do a check on our thinking. just as what has happened today is that much of Christianity has become a religion. Oh, I get my religion from God and the Bible, but I get my lifestyle from the world. Is that the way it's supposed to be? Huh? Is that the way it's supposed to be? You know, the God who revealed himself in the Bible to give us salvation, he also is a God who tells us how to live. Amen? And so we're supposed to get our thinking about salvation from the Bible. We're all supposed to get our thinking about living from the Bible. But we'll not get our thinking about living from the Bible if we don't know the Bible. We'll not get our thinking about God unless we go to the book that reveals who God is and what's right and what's wrong and all these great truths. We need to know the Bible. And no, we have to get over hot dog devotions. You know, we need to get over, get up in the morning, I got to rush off to work. Well, okay, let's see. Oh, that's a good verse. Oh, praise the Lord. I got one. I'm ready for the day. And you know what? That's the end of the Bible for 24 hours. And next day, same thing. You know, we're in a big rush. You know, whoop, let's see. Let's get a good verse. Whew, that was a good one. Okay, thank the Lord, I'm ready for the day. Yeah, another 24 hours. You know? And guess what? We're in the world. The radio's on. The newspaper, reading newspaper. We're surrounded by worldly people and worldly thinking. Have all that input all day long of worldly thinking. Besides that, we're a sinner. And no wonder. No wonder. We're living, our living comes from the world and not from the Bible. And it has permeated Western thinking. It has permeated Western thinking. I like what it says, Romans 12, 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Well, you know what? There's a lot of truth there, isn't there? I'm going to present my body to God. It's going to be a holy vessel. It's going to reflect a holy God. It is his body. He owns it. It's sacred. I'm going to treat it like it is a sacred dwelling place of the Spirit of God. And you know, when we die, the resurrection takes place, the rapture takes place. Guess what? I'll be able to recognize Joel Raines. Yep. I'm going to recognize Joel Raines. He's going to still be Joel Raines. You know that? Isn't that great? You know, when Jesus was transfigured on the Mount, Moses and Elijah were there. Huh, Moses and Elijah? Really? Yeah, Moses and Elijah. They didn't change. They're still Moses and Elijah. Isn't that amazing? Hey, you're going to still be Phil Raines. Even if you change your name, you're still going to be Phil Raines. You know what? You're going to be you. And you know, when you see a person they reflect who they are. You know what I'm saying? And in heaven, our body's going to reflect who we are too. That body's going to be raised. And this Resurrection Sunday, it's good to think about the fact of the sacredness of the body. You know, in the Roman Empire, they would mutilate bodies of Christians and they would burn them and they would do all sorts of horrible things just to mock the idea that they knew that the Christians believed that their body was going to be resurrected. You know, in the Roman Empire, Schaff tells us that Christians would be out there burying even the bodies of the enemies because they had a high view of the human body. We need to get back to a high view of the human body. It's a very vital truth that I think has been lost in our world and in Christianity, and it needs to be recaptured by the people of God. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you tonight that our bodies are the temple, Holy Spirit, that they belong to God, that we're bought with a price. Lord, help us to contemplate the realities that our body is the temple, the house of the very Holy Spirit. And we are to treat our body as a holy temple of God. And we are to dedicate our body, this marvelous body, wonderfully, fearfully made, unbelievable ability, strength of body and of mind. We're to take this body and make it for the Lord and surrender and give our life, that in our body we would do all that we could ever possibly do for Jesus Christ. That we would wear it out for God, even as the Apostle Paul said the conclusion of the whole matter. That we'd be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Because this body, been given to us by God, it's been bought by God, it belongs to you, it's to be used for you. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, let me ask a question. Have you got caught up in thinking that your body is for you, but have lost the fact that your body's for the Lord? Maybe you're in a whole wrong realm of life, caught up in a world of sinful pleasure, when that is the opposite of God's plan. God's plan is for your body to be used for God, a holy God. It is to be a holy vessel. Perhaps you're here tonight and you lost sense of the fact that your body is the holy temple of the Holy Spirit. And that not only is it to be holy, not only does it belong to God, but wherever you take that body, you take the Holy Spirit. Whatever you think, you're making the Holy Spirit figuratively, think those same thoughts, whether good or bad. God has bought our body, redeemed us. Look forward to that. What are you using your body for, you or for God? That's a big question, isn't it? And you say tonight, you know what? I sense that there's some great truths here about my life, about how I view my life, my body, what I allow in my body, what I shouldn't, how I should live, what I'm supposed to do with my life. And God is speaking to me, you tonight, about your body being a holy vessel for God, about your body is for the purpose of serving God, not for your sinful pleasure or your personal pursuits. And you say, God is speaking to me tonight about keeping my body holy. Keeping my body holy. And that's an important decision. And say, Pastor, pray for me. God has spoken to me about keeping my body holy. We just list, raise your hand and say, that's the important decision I'm making tonight. God has spoken to me about keeping my body holy. Okay? Praise God. Okay? Important decision, isn't it? All right? God has spoken to me about keeping my body holy. I'm going to treat it correctly. I'm going to keep it pure. Perhaps the Lord is speaking to you tonight about the fact that your body is for the Lord. What a privilege that we have to serve Him. This marvelous, fearfully and wonderfully made body can do so much for God. And the Bible says as a Christian, we need to dedicate our body as a living sacrifice to God. And that means just about everything we have, you know, because it's contained in this body. And tonight you say, the Lord has spoken my heart. I've been living for myself, or maybe you haven't even crossed this bridge yet, but you say, you know what, I want to surrender my life, my body as a living sacrifice for God. I want to surrender my life, give my body to the Lord, to serve Him till I die with every possible means. And God is speaking to your heart about that tonight. Say, Pastor, that's the decision. And I'm making that tonight by the grace of God. Anyone here tonight? Okay. Amen. Amen. Lord, simple common truth, but profound and wonderful when you get a hold of it. And Lord, now I pray for your Holy Spirit, Lord, to use the decisions that have been made. But I pray also your Holy Spirit would continue to work in lives that need, Lord, to get this thing settled with you about their body being the temple of the Holy Spirit and to be used for God. And so, Lord, we're depending upon you to do a work in the days ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.